Thank you for listening to this week's sermon podcast by Dr. John Hanna. It is our hope and prayer that you will be encouraged in your faith and in your walk with Jesus. For more information, please go to springfieldchurch.org. Here now is the most recent message.
I want you to fly like an eagle. You know that's biblical, right? Fly like an eagle. Eagles are incredible. They are magnificent. Eagles are elegant. You could say they are exquisite. Aren't eagles amazing? They are probably the most fascinating bird in the sky. Some of you are bird watchers and are really into birds. And, you know, birds are fascinating. I was here at the church a couple days ago, and I went outside to put something in the dumpster, and I hear this knock on wood, and I looked up in the trees above the shed, and I saw the most beautiful blue woodpecker just pecking away. Sat and watched him for a while, and he watched me for a while, and then we both went on our way. But it was pretty fascinating. Now, woodpeckers are cool, but there is nothing that compares to an eagle, right? Nothing. This notion of flying like an eagle is biblical. So turn in your Old Testaments to Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 40, and I want to read these verses to you that if you've been in the church for a while, I'm sure you're familiar with these verses. And if you're new to the church, you're going to find that these verses are absolutely incredible. Isaiah chapter 40, beginning at verse 25. Now, this is the word of God to his people. And God says this, "To whom will you compare me? Or who is my equal?" says the Holy One. "Lift your eyes and look to the heavens. Who created all these? He who brings out the starry host one by one and calls them each by name. Because of his great power and strength, not one of them is missing." Now, we need to pay attention to verse 27 here. "Why do you say, O Jacob, and complain, O Israel, 'My way is hidden from the Lord. My cause is disregarded by my God.'" And so we get to verse 27 and there's this low note. It just takes a turn for the south. And there's a despondency here in verse 27. There's a depression. Now, to help us understand why this despondency in verse 27, we need to go to one chapter earlier to Isaiah 39. So turn to Isaiah 39, and I want to read most of the chapter to you. It's a pretty short chapter. But this chapter will help us understand why this downturn in Isaiah 40, 27. So if you look at Isaiah 39, beginning at verse 1, "At that time, Merodach, Baladan, son of Baladan, king of Babylon, sent Hezekiah letters and a gift, because he had heard of his illness and recovery. Hezekiah received the envoys gladly and showed them what was in his storehouses." Now get this, he's going to be pretty extravagant here about all his treasures. the silver, the gold, the spices, the fine oil, his entire armory, and everything found among his treasures. There was nothing in his palace or in all his kingdom that Hezekiah did not show them. Then Isaiah the prophet went to King Hezekiah and asked, "What did those men say, and where did they come from?" "From a distant land," Hezekiah replied. "They came to me from Babylon." The prophet asked, "What did they see in your palace?" "Oh, they saw everything in my palace," Hezekiah said. "There is nothing among my treasures that I did not show them." Now get this. Verse 5. Then Isaiah said to Hezekiah, "Hear the word of the Lord Almighty. The time will surely come when everything in your palace..." Did you get that? "Everything. And all that your fathers have stored up until this day, everything, will be carried off to Babylon. Nothing will be left." Nothing. All gone. Just like that. "Nothing will be left," says the Lord. "And some of your descendants, your own flesh and blood, who will be born to you," get this, "will be taken away. And they will become eunuchs, servants, slaves in the palace of the king of Babylon." So that gives you some of the context of why in Isaiah 40:27 you hear this note of despair and discouragement and depression and despondency. The prophet Isaiah had prophesied, had foretold that God's people were going to be in ruin, desolation. Everything was going to be taken from them. They were going to be displaced. They had nothing. I think of the images coming out of Hawaii, the Maui. Those poor people have lost everything. Everything. It's heartbreaking. And so unless we are in their position, unless we're in their shoes, it's hard for us to imagine that kind of immeasurable loss. You lose everything. And so we go back to Isaiah 40:27. "Why do you say, O Jacob, and complain, O Israel? My way is hidden from the Lord. My cause is disregarded by my God." Things are looking very bleak. Things are looking bad. And we cannot emphasize enough just how in dire straits God's people were. They had no place to call their own. Some of their own were taken away as slaves. Things were looking bad. They had hit rock bottom. And some of you have been there. And I hope not, but maybe some of you are there right now. But that's not the last word. God is not going to leave his people there. With God, there is everlasting hope. And the rest of the chapter continues like this. Verse 28. In your despondency, in your despair, in your immeasurable loss, do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord, those who hope in the Lord, I'm going to say it again, but those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like the eagle. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Oh God, what a powerful word to your people at one of their lowest points in their history. When all hope was gone, and they lost their homeland, and everything was taken away from them. And even the riches that they once held in high esteem, and the power that they may have had at some point, when all of it was stripped away, and barren, and gone, and they were at their lowest point, you, through your prophet, speak this amazing word of hope and strength and power for the hopeless and the weary. And God, there may be someone here today who is feeling pretty low, and they're feeling like hope is gone, and they're feeling like what they once had is no longer. And maybe they are just a shell of what they used to be. And my prayer is that through the power of your word, that you will restore hope and strength and power to the weak. Because that's just the kind of God you are. We put our hope in you. We put our hope in you, God. We put our hope in you. And all God's people said, amen. I cannot emphasize enough that God's people were at their lowest point in this passage. They were despondent. They were discouraged. They were displaced. They were licking their wounds. We could say they were sore. S-O-R-E. In many ways, that's just the human condition, right? If you've been a human long enough, you know that you're going to face discouragement, frustration, heartache. That's the human condition. That's just the way it is. It's hard. And it's hard when you see people going through tough times. It's hard when you are going through tough times. The issue then is, what are we going to do in our lowest point? What are we going to do when we are down and defeated and discouraged? This is one of the devil's greatest tools. Maybe you heard of the story, one day the devil decided to have a garage sale. There's a lot of garage sales happening around town right now. And I've got to stay away from them because, well, I just have too much stuff. But one day the devil decided to have a garage sale. And on a big table he put all of his tools that he had. Tools like hatred and envy and jealousy and deceit and pride and lying. You get the idea. Fear. But off in a corner there was another table, and it had one very specific tool. And someone went up to the devil and said, "Hey, devil, what's this one tool that's off in the corner, off by itself?" Oh, and the devil, he put his hands together and went, "That's my most prized tool. That's the one that gets them every single time. And that is the tool of discouragement. Because if I can get inside a person's heart and soul and discourage them to the point where they are utterly defeated, then I have won yet another soul. That's my greatest tool." And I know that's just a story, but in reality it's true. The enemy can use discouragement and despondency in such a way as to bring people even lower. You know, Micah is starting the football season, and their first game is this coming weekend up in Wilsonville. And it's his senior year, and we're excited, and I think he's excited. And when you've played football as long as he has, or any of you, if you've done sports, you know the thrill of victory, right? But you also know the agony of defeat. Especially when you put your heart out there on the field or on the court, and you've given it your all, and you end up short. You know, nobody wants to lose, right? I don't want Micah to come home some Friday night feeling all down, and, you know, he comes home sore anyway. He's got bruises on his arms and on his legs, and a victory helps a little bit with that, but a defeat just exasperates that even more, right? And it's heartbreaking. Nobody wants to experience defeat. But here's the thing about defeat, which we all experience in life. Defeat can be the cause to help you appreciate all the more the good times, the victory. Those low times that we go through, those times of struggle and despair and hurt and cries and tears, those low times help us appreciate even more the high times. Why does God allow evil in this world? Because if we didn't know what evil was, we wouldn't appreciate all the good. Being human in our human condition, especially when we are at our lowest point, is what enables us to seek out the divine. It's easy to get discouraged. Some of you know the name Rick Dancer. He used to be on TV here a lot and was on the news, was an anchor, and he's now moved to a different state, but he's still pretty active online. And just yesterday he posted a blog, and he entitled it, "It's Easy to Get Discouraged." And I read through it, and it's really politically motivated, so it's not applicable for us here today. But he ends his blog with these three lines, and I told him I was going to use it in my message today, and he said he would be honored. He says, "Discouragement is a choice. Action is the remedy. So what will you do?" And I think in our context, when we face discouragement and heartache, and we all do from time to time, and I readily admit some people have it rougher in life than others. I get that. But we all experience heartache. And so the question for us is, especially as people of faith, especially as people who believe in God, are we going to allow the sufferings and the low time to cause us to be sore, S-O-R-E? Or are we going to trust God enough to lift us up as only He can and allow us to soar, S-O-A-R? Because that's what this passage is all about. He uses the imagery of the mighty eagle, the greatest apex predator in the skies, that God wants to lift us up out of our despondency. And instead of us licking our wounds and living in that state, and trust me, I'm there with you. I'm human just like you. There are times where I want to lick my wounds. And we can feel sorry for ourselves, and we can be self-loathing, and we can live with the spirit of defeat. Or, as we put our hope in the Lord, are we going to allow Him to gently repair us, nurture us back to health, and enable us to fly high as He intends for us? If you were with us last Sunday, I showed you a really neat video of an animal rescue. I've got another short video to show you. You're going to like this one. This is only 3.5 minutes long. But I want you to see what these people do to this bald eagle that was accidentally shot and injured. Watch this.
"Fix this bird's wing immediately or else she's never going to fly again. This bald eagle came into my clinic. Just when we opened up the container and just saw the majesty of America's national bird, it was quite an honor. I had never treated a bird this size before. She had been accidentally shot by some duck hunters. Her crashing to the ground pushed the bone through the skin. I was her only hope at the time, so we went ahead and sedated her and started surgery."
"Wakey, wakey, dude, you did well."
"The bald eagle ended up doing very, very well after anesthesia, woke up very, very quickly, and headed off to the rehab facility for the next 6 weeks. And that's when the fun began. She's an apex predator, and she was not interested in being in a cage. They named her Wolf because of her aggressive nature.
It's kind of crazy right now, but, I guess pretty average for a day.
I think she was so excited to get back out in the wild. We did a few test flights. I got the call that she was ready to be released. It was a cold, wintry day, and we took her out onto the frozen Niagara River. Right before letting her loose, I decided to give one last little exam on her.
Did she get you?
Oh, look at that.
I deserved it.
Yeah. It's like, I remember you.
Few flaps, she was up in the high blue yonder, soaring around, and there was almost a tear to my eye. It was a pretty magical moment. I'll never forget her.
What an amazing video. And I saw that and I go, that's what God does for us. He takes us at our lowest point and He nurses us and nurtures us back to health because we were created to fly. The Bible doesn't compare us to snakes. The Bible doesn't say we are to slither on our bellies. The Bible says we were created to fly high like the eagle. God does this for us. Let's take God out of the equation here for a minute. Forget about God here for a minute. I can't believe I said that in church, but take God out of the equation. And let's say a person finds themselves at their lowest point. Without God in their life, the human condition is pretty resilient. So a person on their own strength, again, take God out of the equation, a person on their own strength could have the ability to lift themselves up. And if they were really strong, probably lift themselves up even more. And because God created us pretty resilient, in our own strength, we have the ability to lift ourselves up. But we can only get to a certain point in our own strength, in our own power, and in our own will. You put God in the equation, Almighty Divine God, He is able to lift us up to heights that we could never achieve on our own. Amen? That's what God does for us. It says here in verse 31, those who hope in my strength, your strength, the government. Ooh, I don't want to get political. Those who hope in the Lord. The Lord. God is the one who does this. God is the one who restores us and lifts us up and takes us places we could never, ever go on our own. They will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run. and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. We have a choice to make. Are we going to remain sore? S-O-R-E? Or by God's power, God's strength, will we allow Him to lift us up so that we can soar? S-O-A-R. Some of you pretty regularly read these daily breads that we put out on the welcome table. We just put the new ones out for September, October, November. They're out there. Pick a new one up. And they are short, 2-3 minute reads, great little devotionals to get your day started. They will encourage you and inspire you. Today's little devotional from Sunday, August 27th, couldn't have timed this any better, is entitled Dealing with Disappointment. Let me just read it to you. After raising money all year for a trip of a lifetime, seniors from an Oklahoma high school arrived at the airport to learn that many of them had purchased tickets from a bogus company posing as an airline. It's heartbreaking, one school administrator said. Yet even though they had to change their plans, the students decided to make the most of it. They enjoyed 2 days at nearby attractions, which donated the tickets. Dealing with failed or changed plans can be disappointing or even heartbreaking, especially when we've invested time, money, or emotion into the planning. King David had it in his heart to build a temple for God, but God told him, "You are not to build a house for my name. Solomon, your son, is the one who will build my house." David didn't despair. He praised God for choosing him to be king over Israel, and he gave the plans for the temple to Solomon to complete. When our plans fall through, no matter the reason, we can bring our disappointment to God, who cares for us. That's from 1 Peter 5:7. He will help us handle our disappointment with grace.
Hi, I'm John Hanna, pastor of All Things Good, a church that believes in the goodness of God because God is the source of all things good. We are located on the corner of 18th and E Street in Springfield, and our Sunday morning service is 11 o'clock a.m. For more information about our church, you can visit our website at springfieldchurch.org. We look forward to meeting you, and I hope you have a great day.